Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. Hey!
When there is news around the NFL, the Bull and the Fox trust the man from the Monday Morning Quarterback. It's time for Albert Breer on the official radio home of the Cleveland Browns. Sports Radio 92.3, The Fan.
Hey, Albert, it's just what we expected, right? For Thursday Night Football Week 7, we've got Case Keenum at quarterback, D'Ernest Johnson at running back, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the wide receiver 1, and Blake Hantz playing left tackle. Are we ready for Thursday Night Football?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's like perfect Thursday Night Football, isn't it? Like, that's exactly how you draw it up. I mean, all we need, guys, is a couple of sets of Color Rush uniforms, and we're good to go.
That's it. That's all we need.
What do we have from the Browns tomorrow night? We got the all brown coming back.
I don't know exactly.
I think so. I think there's Color Rush tomorrow night.
I can't remember
they are
which
going
one.
With the orange numbers, you mean?
Yeah, with the best uniforms they wear on Thursday night. Adam, they wore those the last couple of years. Remember?
They did. I assume they're doing it.
I assume they're wearing those tomorrow night.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that then. That would complete the effect.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
A full Thursday night. Like the Jaguars, Titans, like Thursday
right.
night football.
Right. Right.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, before we get back to the Browns, I want to get to – I saw you just tweeting just now about the Texans situation. We all know John McClain is one of the most respected beat reporters in America. So
yep.
when he tweets about something going on with the Texans, we all take notice. He says that something could go on this week. What I mean, he referenced the fact that the Dolphins are, you know, 1-5 and they're getting antsy. I mean, is it that simple? Is anything else changed in this situation?
Well, I can tell you, like, Nick Caserio has stuck to his asking price, and I think what's changed is the Dolphins have lost a bunch of games. And I think for a group that's rebuilt, but, you know, is now looking at year three, potentially not making the playoffs. Maybe that amps up the pressure a little bit to get something done, you know, and the interesting thing about it, guys, from the Texans perspective is, you know, we talk about how, and I've said this to you guys a few times, how, like, you don't know where the pick's going to be, right? Like, if they're trading you a pick, you don't know where the pick's going to be. And by sending Deshaun Watson to the other team, you're devaluing the pick. Well, what's interesting about this one is the Dolphins don't have their own first-round pick. They have San Francisco's first-round pick. Because if you remember, they traded the third pick to the Niners, got the Niners' first-round pick for 2022 back as part of that deal, and then traded their own 2022 first-rounder to move back up to sixth in April. So the Dolphins make sense as a suitor. You know, and I think it's the same sort of ideas, you know, you have with Josh Rosen in Arizona, and you have with Jared Goff in L.A., and Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, where, you know, there's this new climate, I think, at that position where, and we've talked about this with Baker too, where, you know, sometimes you look at it and good's not good enough and you feel like you have to level up at the position. And, you know, maybe after seeing, you know, 12 starts, 13 games from Tua, they feel like they need to find a better option at the position, especially when, you know, over the next year or so, people's jobs might be on the line.
Just got an update, by the way. No Color Rush this season. It is going to be brown jersey, orange pants tomorrow night, Albert. Does that excite you?
I love the Browns uniforms. You know, I was really, to be honest with you, Dustin, like, I thought the 2015 uniform update was god-awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was terrible. And, you know, I applaud, like, the Haslams and everybody else who was involved for going back to the original uniform. So, as long as the Browns aren't trotting themselves out there in whatever the hell they were wearing from 15 to 19, I'm good with it.
Yeah. So let's go to the game, Albert. I mean, Broncos and Browns. Case Keenum's going to be playing in this game. What should we expect out of him? And also, I'm curious your thoughts and what you've heard on Baker Mayfield as to the extent of his injury and how long he could be out for.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as it goes with Baker, it's just going to be a matter of rest right now. And that's one of those injuries where, you know, I think you kind of can get to calm down, but it really, it's not going to heal itself. You know, you've got to, it'll take significant time for that to happen. So I think it's going to be, you know, a matter of managing it through the rest of the year. And I think giving him a little bit of a break here will help. As for what we can expect from Case, I mean, I think people forget that that Case Keenum was playing in an NFC Championship game a couple of years ago.
Right.
You know, I think it was 2017, 4 years ago. And so I think what this actually does, guys, and this is going to be the interesting piece of it to me, is like it kind of gives you, like, okay, like people might be worried that Baker is above average and not great. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, now I think you're going to get a chance to kind of give yourself the side-by-side comparison where you get to see what Case Keenum looks like running the Browns offense. It's like, I think in a way it sort of is going to give you an idea, like, all right, how far above like a Case Keenum level is Baker Mayfield? And how does that color maybe how you look at the idea of paying Baker when you get to the offseason?
Right.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, will there be more people watching the Red Sox? If is it game 7 Saturday night or the Patriots against I don't even know the Patriots playing this week. Oh, the Jets.
Yeah.
So it's got to be the Red Sox, right?
Every piece of like ratings information that we have from the last decade would tell us it's going to be the Patriots. And trust me, like I – having grown up here, I know what it was like before and what, you know, like what this was in the 90s and, you know, even the early parts of the 2000s, like the Red Sox were number one here, you know, and the Red Sox were, I would say, more relevant even on a daily basis, you know, in September and October and then into November and their hot stove season in December. And I'd say right around like when the Patriots went undefeated, that started to flip. And then, you know, as we got into the last decade, it really flipped altogether. And so, you know, people are excited to hear about the Red Sox. There's no question about it. You know, a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon. I don't know whether or not they'll be able to beat the Patriots in the ratings. So
well, that would be bad if they don't. That's embarrassing.
I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to, guys. Like, I'm not positive on that. Just
wow.
Because recent history tells us recent history tells us the NFL always beats baseball.
But the Patriots stink now. And they're playing the Jets.
I know. And they're playing the Jets. It's not a good game either.
No.
That's the thing about it. And it's a 1 o'clock, you know? And probably, I mean, you guys are in the same boat as us, right? Like where, I mean, our nice weekends are numbered up here. We don't know how many more nice weekends we're going to have.
Exactly.
So like, if it's nice out on Sunday, I mean, I'd imagine there are going to be the people, you know, who might be just casual fans who might decide that this is the right time to go outside and have, you know, take advantage of one of the last nice weekends before things get crappy out.
Albert Breer go ahead, Bull.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, speaking of, you know, the Patriots, you got your rookie quarterback there. There's five rookie quarterbacks. None are playing particularly well. You know, Mac Jones has been okay, and he actually, after he got picked, he made that nice throw for the 70-something-yard touchdown. But overall, the rookies have not been good. But there's been some progress, right? Especially Trevor Lawrence has played a little better. He finally got his first win. Do you think any of those five teams are doubting their pick already?
I think it's probably too early for that. You know, I would say, like, I think – you know, you look at the Jets, and I think Zach Wilson is sort of like repeating some of the mistakes that he made at BYU. So they're going to have to snap him out of that. And then I think Trey Lance has sort of come as advertised. You know what I mean? Like where, you know, the thought was he was coming into the league raw and not ready. And he hadn't played a lot of football, period, over the last, you know, over the 18 months before the draft because you know, his season got canceled, you know, having been at a 1AA school. And so, you know, I think, you know, he's still pretty raw and has a ways to go. So, like, those are the two that I look at and I say, eh. But, you know, I think with both of them, it's more just what we thought of them coming out of college. Like, some of those things are showing up a little bit more than you would like them to. I still think, like, a half halfway through their, you know, not even halfway through their rookie season. I don't think that anybody be like kind of like wanting to hit the reset button on those picks, just because like you've seen the good side too. And I think with each of those guys, you see tools, and then with the one guy who doesn't have like unbelievable tools, you know, Mac Jones going 15th overall, he's actually come as advertised too. He's pretty advanced, was ready for the NFL, sees it, like good anticipatory thrower, accurate, all of that. So I'd say that right now, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were actually saying about these guys back in April has actually come true. Even with Trevor Lawrence, who I think the Colts or the Jaguars are sort of doing what the Colts did back in 1998 when they threw Peyton Manning out there, just saying, we're going to let the guy go play, we're going to let him make his mistakes, and we're going to let him learn from them to try to accelerate his development.
Albert, a lot of people are making a big deal about what Aaron Rodgers said. It got caught on the hot mic when he said, I own you to the Bears. Is this a big deal or not a big deal at all?
I don't think it's a huge deal. I think one of the things that I took from it, Dustin, is there was a little pride there, right? Like, there was a little...
Yeah.
I don't know, like a little...
It made me think, is Aaron really done in Green Bay? Like, if he,
I know.
You know?
Like that, it's sort of like, it was almost like that school pride thing, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, you
know, right.
Like getting off the bus with your Letterman jacket type of feel
exactly.
to it. And you wonder, like, you do wonder, it's like, things have gone, you know, for the most part, really well, you know, since they lost the season opening game to the Saints. He clearly loves his teammates. I think Matt LaFleur has done a really nice job of sort of navigating the whole thing. You know, seeing as though the problem wasn't between him and Aaron, it was between the front office and Aaron. And I think Matt's done a really good job of sort of keeping that situation where it needs to be and maintaining his relationship with Aaron through it. And then you see some of the things that have worked out. And I think this is where like Matt LaFleur as a head coach, I think has like some real, I'd call it emotional intelligence in the way he's handled this situation. And that, like, I think he understood, like, I'm not here to antagonize Aaron Rodgers, right? And there are some coaches that would look at the Randall Cobb situation, for example, and say, I don't want this guy forced on me, like, and then just sort of half-ass it with him. Mm. But, you know, Matt just sort of took the opposite approach, where it was like, Aaron trusts this guy, Aaron likes this guy, we're going to do everything we can to get this guy in a position to make plays, and it's worked. You know, and then since then, they've gone out and they've gotten Whitney Mercilus from Houston. They've gotten Jalen Smith from Dallas. And so you see some things that are sort of pointing towards, is he really done there? So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think all of that obviously hinges on how the season ends for them and what happens when we get to the playoffs. But I do think, like, you know, what we saw on Sunday and kind of like the way he pounded his chest and the way he was there with his teammates and all the rest of it, it's just, you kind of feel like there are better vibes coming out of that place than there were 2 months ago. And if you want Aaron Rodgers to remain a Packer and potentially retire a Packer, I think you have to feel better about that now than you did in the middle of summer. Yep.
Albert, there are three college-style massive favorites, especially two of them, in the NFL this week.
College-style, I like that.
Right? I mean, like, we're not used to, like, 12, 14, 17-point spreads, but we've got three of them this week. Tampa Bay is a 12.5-point favorite at home against the Bears. The Rams are a 15-point favorite at home against the Lions. And the Cardinals are a 17.5-point favorite over the Texans. If you had to bet, in which order those three big dogs have the best chance to win, from best chance to worst chance?
So we got Bears, Bucks. We got
Texans,
Rams.
Texans, Cardinals, Lions, Rams.
So I think the Bears are the best of the three dogs, but they're playing the Super Bowl champions. I still think the Bears, just because I think, again, of the three teams that are the best, of the three dogs that are the best, and I think the Bucs have, like, significant issues in their secondary. So, yeah. You know, I think it's possible if they can get Justin Fields going a little bit, like, you could see the Bears find a way to get that game into the fourth quarter and maybe win. And then the Lions have fought their asses off, but they're playing the Rams. I guess I would say second would be the Cardinals-Texans game, just because of all the COVID issues. And, you know, last week they were going through it, but they went through it when the hay was sort of already in the barn. And you wonder if maybe that hits them a little bit this week. And then I would say the third would be the Lions and the Rams. I can't see Sean McVay losing to Jared Goff in this situation. And quite honestly, I mean, I think all three are going to win. I'm just trying to answer your question here.
Albert, last thing.
Yep.
I got to give some love to Bengals management. I often rip them. But a lot of people were killing the Bengals when they took Chase over Penei Sewell. Sewell, whatever the hell, however the hell you say his last name.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know it's six games. I don't want to go over the top. But right now, Sewell hasn't played particularly well for Detroit. I know he's on a bad team. And Ja'Marr Chase is if the rookie of the year were today, he'd win it unanimously. It looks like they got it right in this case. Again, maybe time will tell and it won't be, but right now it looks like it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think, like, that's the thing, like, to me, is, like, if you're drafting in that range, you know, I know that there was a whole thing about, and I agree with this, like, that you have to protect your rookie quarterback.
No doubt.
I 100% agree with that, right? But when you're drafting fifth overall, because nobody wants to be drafting there forever, because if you're drafting there for a few years, you're probably not going to have a job anymore. I think it's incumbent on you to take the very best player, you know? And obviously the quarterback thing is separate. Like, if you have a quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
The quarterback discussion is, I think, kind of separate from the rest of it. But I think if you're drafting in that area, like, you absolutely positively just have to take the best player. I can remember, you know, like the Lions taking Calvin Johnson in second overall. And then there was 2008, right? And they had taken like a litany of receivers. Mike Williams, Charles Rogers, Roy Williams. You guys remember all that.
Yeah, sure.
And they came under some criticism for taking Calvin Johnson. But it was absolutely the right move. The guy's a Hall of Famer. And I can't even remember who went after him. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So to me, it's like one of those sorts of situations where it's like, if you're drafting in the top five and you're not taking a quarterback, like, you want to come away from that with a Hall of Fame type of player. And I would say at this point, looks like Ja'Marr, I'm not putting that on Ja'Marr Chase, but, you know, you look at some of the things that he's done, and it absolutely looks like they got a blue chip player out of the deal.
No doubt. Albert, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Albert Breer, MMQB. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.